You know, I can insert parts of last night's reading into this or just make this available as a link, but it would be great to hear you read something Hammertown-ish from the new book.
Okay.
The new book is Parkway. This is all. This is published by New Star out of Vancouver, yes?
Yeah, all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, something. We have something very specific. Something very specifically local. Just give me a sec. Oh, yeah, okay. I don't need to read all of this. This is in section. The Inland Empire for George Stanley. The weak solder of solidarity. Zonko's hang the sock rags in his best Queens in Victoria, under the gaze of Victoria, who looks like a young Mary Todd or a bomb-wielding Avignon Pope. Under the gaze of the rank and file who can't wait for Jack Monroe to come out of the snow and get them off the hook and back to Nanaimo. When the poets start, it's time to leave. Can I stop and interject the like little details about this?
That'd be great.
Because I don't usually do that, but it's because it seems the week. So I'm talking here about in the early 80s in BC, we had a social credit right wing government that was like the first kind of austerity right wing, and they began the process of rolling back the public sector unions. So there was this great series of rallies that took place in Victoria. And this is a memory of that. And Zonko was from Queens, from Jamaica, I always gave his birthplace as Jamaica, was a New York poet who became a Vancouver and Hornby Island poet in the 70s. And did a lot of, was very active in small press, published Kevin Davies' first book. And this is in the solidarity rally, and so he's there in his very loud voice going, "Hang this up," and all these union people are looking at him. And Jack Monroe was the union leader, like when it all was going to be a general strike. He's the union leader who went out in the snow with the leader of the government, came back, and he'd made a deal for his union, and basically the whole thing just collapsed. When the poets start, it's time to leave. A farewell no less permanent for its awkwardness and accompanying banners. The island highway is the tinnitus of the landscape. 50 words for wet snow, words over wetter snow, breaking a stick off another stick on my breastbone, then banging the lichen loose layer of something is the thing. Slurry under slush, steel toe cow catcher, but it's not the north, not the dog of the north. So I'm very much kind of in this thinking or trying to find a way into sort of talking about that. This was written for a Capilano Review. This is like commission, thank you, a piece for the George Stanley issue. So I'm thinking about his north and my south in a sense.
And it's called the Inland Empire.
The Inland Empire, which is like two things, which is there's the Inland Empire in L.A., and there's the Inland Empire in Washington, which is Spokane. And there's like David Lynch's. So that sense of kind of like that booster-ish kind of language. I always liked, and I love that movie too, even though nobody else likes it, The City of Industry with Harvey Keitel. So I'm thinking about the North because it's snowing. This snowball smells like fish. And down the same railroad cut which carries the ascending whine and keening rumble of traffic sometimes, bacon, smokes, coffee, acetone, pig shit, cow shit, frying chicken, if less of the burger onion startup combo casserole than years since, weed, the horse farm goat, always the greenwood smoke at the bottom of the bowl. Yellowed penguin pages, ordinary leaves of Don Allen, failing transmissions from off-island, subject to frequency modulation and infant theft, the last ethered sunlight of grade 11, a slice of lemon pound cake from which the rind has been removed. Morse code from a coffin. Idea of North, Protestant North, no California lemons, bare knuckle bonhomie, pubs heated by sweat and breath and pickled egg farts, terry cloth tonsure, cards till daybreak, winter without hugs or drugs, hockey fights and hockey kisses, the rolling Graysdale of a cheap TV into which the test pattern has been burned. Conditional recognition, not so much as a poet as one marked off, as that injured aldermanic raven walking bent through the snow and toward the fence with an entitled eye to the point of death. The Yellow Penguin Pages, that's a memory that came through of my first reading of Jack Spicer and George Stanley was in, not the Donald Allen,
anthology.
Not the famous one, but the one the Penguin did, maybe about 5 or 6 years later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Poetics of the New
American? No, no, no. It was actually an anthology of, I forget the name of it, it was an anthology of poetry. It was just slightly updated, and it had George in it. And it also had love poems by Jack Spicer, you know, Did Flowers Change As I Touch Your Skin, which is like, it really was the last day of grade 11, and I was in my English classroom, and I would go into classrooms and open the cupboards and see if there were any like books to steal when I was a kid. And saw that and thought, and with that entitlement, that is hard to kind of credit now, but I just saw things and I knew they were mine. And opening it up on that day and seeing that, you know, a poem, feeling that, you know, all those Emily Dickinson things you're supposed to feel. Yeah, this is my, I'm forgetting titles today. The movie with the young woman who has to go investigate her dad. And can't remember the title now. It's gone. Tough to do the working class in widescreen. The interiors don't quite add up. Tables bump lumpy chairs, bump bumpy walls, and let's face it, this potato texture, distressed, is something you don't want to see in letterbox HD. Not meth breather tubing with a regional twang, expository dentistry soaked in tang. All except maybe the pearl of the litter, the squirrel skinner with secret pluck and historical luck. Tough to look, though, Joni, from both sides now. I'm realizing now that I've taken Joni out of that.
Out of that Winter's Bone imagery.
Winter's Bone, thank you. Jeez, that was driving me nuts with that whole reading. There's actually a friend of mine in Toronto said she wanted, she was invited to do like a sort of a volunteer poetry reading. Could I send her something? So I sent her this and called it Winter's Bone. And then she said, no, this is great, but Joni shouldn't be in there. I'm not going to read out Joni. And I thought, that's right. She's right. Tough to look, though. From both sides now. I was like, thank you. The imprinting's all frayed, the heads dragged up and round about like busted bell bottoms in a cube of splayed and paw-smeared plastic. Heavy on the shoulders, eyes a cellular habit, lenses chipped and bouldered, tiny fingers still working QWERTY under the awning, speech replacing gum, choose television for the eyes, metamorphic sum, like watching paint dry. Or foggy molecules bead and dance in the light from my hat, shakes her head on the tracks.